We're going to continue our series titled, This is How You Should Pray. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he says, after this manner, this is the way that you're supposed to pray. And we certainly want to learn to pray from Jesus. Amen. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus gives them this prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 11. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. This is about us asking our Father to take care of our needs, whatever those might be. And you know, this is what, well, frankly, this is what most people pray about. In fact, a lot of people, it's really the only thing they pray about is the things that they want God to do, the things that they feel like they need to happen in their life. And I just want to make this point very strongly this morning is that, yes, that's a good thing to go to God with your needs. But first and foremost, it ought to be about something more than just telling God about our needs. First and foremost, we go to our Father, our Heavenly Father. We realize who we're talking to. We're talking to the God of the universe who can do absolutely anything, that he rules from heaven. And we are talking to a holy God. We show him reverence and respect and worship. And then we also, you see, we talked about it last week. We pray for his kingdom to come, his will to be done. And I want to tell you, that is always the first order of things because his will is always best. But yes, we go to God with our needs. And when we approach him that way, I will tell you, he's ready to hear our needs. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I want to just get this out here right up front, the beginning of this message. You'll notice that it says daily. This needs to be a daily thing for us, that every day we go to God in prayer. Every day we go to God with our needs. But remember, this is a pattern, an outline for prayer. It's not just praying for bread. I can look around this room and you can certainly look up here in the pulpit and see that I've had plenty, right? And I can tell that a lot of you have had plenty as well. And most of us in our great nation, we're not just trying to get another piece of bread today, although that may have been true in this time and it's certainly true still today around the world in many places. But I just want you to understand that he's talking about the principle that we come to our Father with our needs. Yes. All kinds of needs. It's not just about food. You see, bread here just symbolizes the necessities of life. And there's certainly material needs in our world, but we also have needs of our soul. There are needs of our spirit. You know, sometimes we need peace, we need joy, but whatever the need is, we should bring it to our Father. Martin Luther said it, he said about Matthew 6, 11, daily bread doesn't just refer to food, it's a symbol for the things we need for the preservation of our lives, food, health, housing, employment, and a happy marriage. See, all kinds of needs. And each and every one of us this morning, even today, this day, there's some kind of a need in our life. I mean, somebody needs a friend. Somebody, they're stressed out. They need some of that peace. There's somebody else. There's some area of their life where there's just a lacking, something missing. I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father, he wants to provide for our needs, no matter what those needs might be. I mean, right now, the biggest need in your life might be that you need strength in your physical body. Maybe you've been sick. You just need the Lord to touch you with a healing touch. Maybe right now you're struggling with needing guidance from the Lord, wisdom from the Lord. You're praying about your job and, you know, should I look for another job? Should I ask my boss for a raise? Or should I just be content with right where I'm at and what I'm doing? See, and you need wisdom, direction from God. But so many things, so many areas of life, we just need to realize this is about us taking those needs to the Lord in prayer. And sometimes it's, as I said, it's not a material need or something, you know, like that, but maybe it's a spiritual need. I just want to remind you, when we talk about the daily bread, man does not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word from God. And one of the things that we need more than anything else, whether we realize it or not, is that a lot of the time we need a word from God. I mean, a word from God can change everything. I think there's special times in life when God gives us a word and it may change the course of our life. But I also think that each and every day that we ought to hunger and desire a word from God, that God would speak to us through his word and by his spirit, that each and every day we look to him with that need in our soul to hear from him and know that he's speaking to us and directing our life. Not just when we're in a battle, but every day we need that from the Lord. But here's what I know. Whatever we need, our Father has it. Psalm 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. He owns everything and everybody. It all belongs to him. And you see, some people in this world, they have so much, but it's just on loan. So you might be a steward of something for a little while, but ultimately, it all belongs to God. We just need to remember, he has whatever we need, and he wants us to ask. I want to remind you, Matthew's gospel, the very verse before he gives us this prayer, Matthew 6:8, Jesus says, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He already knows. And then he gives us this prayer because we are supposed to ask, even though he already knows. Why? First and foremost, I want to say this very clearly. Your heavenly Father, he wants a real relationship with you. And as we've already seen in this text this morning, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father wants a daily relationship with us. And so, yes, he expects us to come to him and ask him to meet our daily needs. It's a daily thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Amen. We're supposed to be praying all the time. We need to be talking to our Father all the time. Here's a real key to prayer. Do it all the time. Just all the time, talking to God. Yes, daily we are talking to him. Second, prayer is a declaration of our dependence upon God. We go to him and we ask him for our daily bread. We ask him to take care of this need or to help us with that because we are depending upon him. We're looking to him as our source. We recognize that we can't do it on our own. Too many Christians, you see, they have a once in a while relationship with God. I mean, they're going to pray. They're like, Lord, I'll let you know if I need anything. And then they go on about their business and about their life until they get in some kind of situation where they feel like they need God's help. That is not the kind of relationship our Father wants with us. He wants us to have a daily relationship where we realize, not just when things get bad, we realize that every day I need him. Every day, always. You know, the children of Israel, when they didn't enter into the promised land the first time,
And they wandered around in the wilderness because that faithless generation just didn't get it. And God provided for them, miraculously provided manna for them each and every day. And it was every day except on the Sabbath, because except for the day before the Sabbath, whatever they collected, if they tried to save it for the next day, it would be rotten and stink. They had to trust God. They had to depend on God. They were relying on God every single day that He was going to provide food again today. God wants us to depend on Him every single day. Every day that we're always looking to Him, not just once in a while. Even in the areas where we think that we are strong, areas where we feel like we have it together, we need to trust God. We need to realize that without Him, we can do nothing. You know, sometimes we think we've gotten certain things under control. Well, I can work and I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I want to tell you, you better be trusting God. Realize how much you need Him. It can all fall apart. I mean, sometimes, you know, we think we got, well, I got my kids under control. I want to tell you that can change real quick. You better trust God. You better be depending on God. You think you're a great father? You better be depending on God. The wheels can come off tomorrow. Hey, I'm not preaching gloom and doom. I'm preaching that we have a real relationship with our Father. And every day we're supposed to look to Him in prayer as we're depending upon Him for His help. Doesn't matter what we do. I want to tell you, some ministers, some worship leaders, they get to the place where they got it all, you know, all their ducks in a row. They know how to do this. They know how to do it. I want to tell you, without the Lord's help, they labor in vain. None of it matters. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what we do in life. Don't start thinking that you got this. You need God's help every day. Whether you know it or not, you need Him every day. Next, He wants us to be humble. You know, when we start feeling like we've got this, or things just kind of falling into place and everything is easy, you know, a lot of the time there's the potential for us to fall into pride. And it's such a big problem for so many people. Pride goes before destruction. And let me tell you something. Your Father, He loves you. He wants to keep you from destruction. And He will let you learn some humility the hard way if need be. I'm preaching good right now. I can show it to you in the Bible. Read about old Nebuchadnezzar. He learned the hard way. But you see, our Father wants us to come to Him every day. Because it is an act of humility that I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need you in this area of my life. This area of my life, Lord, I need you. I remember many years ago, the Lord spoke this to my heart. A day without prayer is an arrogant act. How can a believer go a day without prayer without knowing they need God today? Not just once in a while, daily. Daily. Next, if we did everything without praying and asking for His help, I mean, if God did everything for us, or if things just always fell in place for us and we didn't have to ask for His help, why does He want us to ask? Because then we just take it for granted if everything was just there and we always. There's another word for that. It's ingratitude. And our Heavenly Father, He wants us to be a grateful people. He wants us to give Him thanks and praise for all of the good things in our life. We can't just think that it's just our doing, but we give him the thanksgiving, the praise for it. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And it's not just talking about stuff. Give God thanks for your family, for your church family. Give God thanks for your job. Give God thanks for the great country we live in. Give God thanks for the food on your table. I can't understand. Let me just tell you this. Praying over your food, some people think it's just a ritual. Well, it's not to me. I'm genuinely thankful for the food on my table, whatever it might be. And I pray over it because I want to thank him for it. And by the way, you can see in the scripture several times that the Lord Jesus, before he broke the bread and passed it, he blessed it. It's important that we take a moment and acknowledge. You see, we're like, hey, we got bread. We don't need to ask God for bread. Just because he's provided it so abundantly for us, should we take it for granted more than somebody who desperately needs it? Oh, we should just be all the more grateful and thankful. But you see, when we pray, we come to him daily and we say, Lord, I've asked you to take care of my needs. There's a gratefulness that's there then, because then when he does, we acknowledge that it was him and not just us doing it on our own. He wants us to be a people of faith who trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so, yes, we pray about our needs and we believe and we expect that our Father will answer our prayer and that he'll take care of us. And last, why does he want us to ask? He wants us to be free from worry. So many people are anxious, upset, been out of shape, all stressed. I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father, he doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live free from worry. And the only way we can do that is we go to him, we go to our Father, and we present our needs to him, and we trust him to take care of it, whatever it is. In fact, if you read on after the Lord's Prayer in the same chapter, Jesus starts talking about worry. I'm going to give you just a little of it. In Matthew 6, 31 through 34, he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? He's talking about the basic necessities of life. And there were people there in his midst that probably were worried just about having food to eat. Most of us have these bases covered, but we find plenty else to worry about. And I want to tell you, we need to take those needs to our Heavenly Father. We don't have to worry about them. He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows what we need. We don't have to run after stuff. He says, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, they seek after all these things. I want to tell you, there's a lot of Christians seeking after things when they need to be trusting their Heavenly Father. They're all worried, they're fearful, they're stressed because they're seeking after things. He says, your Heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of. Remember, he knows what we need before we even ask. But why? Why do people seek these things instead of? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to trust your Heavenly Father with your needs. You know, the scripture makes it clear that we're supposed to work, that we're supposed to provide for our family. But we need to remember also that it's God that provided a job. It's God that gave us the ability to do what we do to make a living. It's God who deserves the glory and the honor. And you see, without his help, where would we be? So yes, we always ask for his blessing, for his provision. We ask him to take care of our needs. It's amazing how in this world, people run after stuff, and they always think, if I can just get a little more, I'll be happy. The billionaire that has $10 billion, he's not content. He wants 15. The one that has 15, he wants 20. And some of us were thinking, well, I'm not like that. I just want a little more. It's the same spirit. And here's what I know. It will never bring you peace. It will never bring you the joy that you think it will. Jesus says, the Gentiles run after all these things. Your Father, he knows what you have need of. It's interesting to me. I had this verse in my message, and then just by coincidence read across it this morning in my morning reading, but Ecclesiastes 5:10, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. It's vanity. I'll tell you, the scripture tells us in Colossians 3:5 that greed is idolatry. Makes a terrible God. Money will enslave you, it'll drive you, it'll steal your peace, your joy, your very soul if you make it your God. The Bible tells us very clearly that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So this is not just us asking God to give us more. No, it is about us trusting God with our needs. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Could you? It's really quiet in here. Could we? But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Those who desire to be rich. Surely that wasn't written for people in America. Was that nervous laughter? And then they fall into a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How true it is of those who love money instead of God. You see, when we go to God, we're not just asking him to fulfill our greed. We're asking him to take care of our needs. And there's a difference. Our Father wants us to trust him. He will bless us. He'll take care of us. And as long as we trust him, I will tell you, he will provide for us. Listen, not just enough, but our Father, so often, he provides for us in abundance when we really trust him. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And here's the point I want to make first is, our trust can never be in our stuff. It can never be in our job or anything else, but in the living God. But get this, then he says, God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You see, God's not against us having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have us. But he gives us all things richly to enjoy. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to be rich. But it is a sin to love money, to trust in riches. It seems like people so often go to one extreme or the other. Some people that think that, you know, that if you're truly spiritual, then you don't ever have anything. You got to be poor and just make do with nothing. And then there's other people that think that God wants everybody to be a millionaire. I want to tell you, both are errors. When you err to either side of the truth, you're going to end up in a ditch. But I do believe it's clear in Scripture that God takes care of his people. We need to look to him and trust him with our needs. Mark 10, 23 and 24. And before I even read it, let me just say that sometimes there are difficult passages in the Scripture that we need just as much as our favorite verses. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Is this still true? Yes. It's hard for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard for them to truly trust God because they put their trust in their money. They think their money can solve anything. They think their money is the answer. It's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." I want to tell you, I don't want to be poor, but I'd rather be poor and have the Lord than have all the money in the world and not have the Lord. And we may not understand it. We may not like it in our culture and the attitudes, the philosophy of our day. But James 2:5 says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" You know, sometimes in our culture, we say the rich are the ones that have faith. Well, that ain't what Jesus or what the scripture says. He's chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Why? Because they trust God. They're daily relying on God. And I'm just saying to you, whether you're poor or you're rich, that daily we're depending on him. Every day we're relying on him. We're looking to him. Give us this day our daily bread. It's amazing, but in our world still today, there are people looking for their daily bread. And when Jesus taught this prayer, there were people in his midst that it was part of that culture that many of the people, they went out and worked that day to make daily bread. How blessed we are. But here's the thing, we daily acknowledge our Father as our provider every day, every day. We acknowledge our dependence upon him. And here's the thing, you see, there's such a peace in that. There's such a comfort in that, a security in that. When every day you're acknowledging him as the one that's going to take care of your needs. Every day, every day. That's the key, every day, daily. Because what happens to so many people is every day they're focused on what's going on in our world. They're focused on the war. They're focused on gas prices. They're focused on what's happening with the economy. Where's the stock market? I mean, the stock market goes up and down, and they just go up and down with it. Every day, they're looking at the things of this world. What's going to happen with Social Security? They're all wound up and upset and up and down, and every time something goes this way or that way, they're all bent out of shape. Pastor, don't you live in a real world? I do, and I know who my source and supply is, that he is my provider, and I'm not going to allow all those things to upset me. I'm looking to him in prayer. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. God is my provider, and he will give me my daily bread. Daily, he will take care of my needs and make a way for me. Now, I tell you, don't come tell me how bad things are. Some people get upset if you don't get as upset as they are. I'm trusting my Father. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't have to be anxious and all stressed out when we're looking to our Father. don't even watch the evening news? What's the matter with you? I'm telling you, if people spent as much time in prayer as they do eating all that, oh, how blessed they would be. How joy. Our Father wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have joy and victory in our life. Relying on Him every day. People around you pulling their hair out and they've got stomach ulcers and all upset, you can have peace because you're looking to Him. You know, there's a real deception here too when we have money in the account, we got our retirement set up, or we got a great job, we're making a really good living, and we think, well, why do I need to go to the Lord every day and ask Him to meet my needs? Because it's not just about getting it. It's about keeping it. Because I don't care how you got it, where you got it, it can be gone. But it's not even just about that. It's about being able to enjoy it. Here's a guy in the Bible, he thought he had it all together. Luke 12:16. He spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I don't need to pray for God to meet my needs every day. I got this. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward God. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers try to use this passage to get people to give. There's plenty of passages that tell us that we're supposed to give. This one isn't really one of those. When he's talking about being rich toward God, he wasn't just saying, hey, give a big offering, although you can do that if you want, right? But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something real. He's talking about a relationship. I mean, you can give all your money to the church. If you don't have a relationship with God, you don't have nothing in eternity. Being rich toward God is about having a real walk with God, a real relationship. You know, the kind where you talk to Him every day. That's being rich toward God. But this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Who are we talking to? We're talking to our Father. We're trusting Him. We're relying upon Him. Every day. It's amazing to me how that over the years, I've seen this so often where when somebody gets in a rough spot in life, they decide it's time to go to church. And there's a whole lot of us that's how we got right with God. We figured out, man, I need the Lord. Amen. And it took some rough place to get us to understand that. But I've also seen this so many times over the years where people will, because of a rough place in life, they show up at church. They're like, yeah, we need to get in church. And then when things kind of smooth out for them, they're gone. Well, if things get rough again, I'll come back, Lord. I want to tell you, God wants to be our God every day. And one of the greatest blessings of life is to walk with the Lord each and every day, to always be looking to Him and never forget that it's God that has blessed us. Amen. The Lord spoke this to the children of Israel when they were getting ready to go into the promised land, and they're going to experience such blessing. And I want to tell you that, you see, sometimes the Lord knows if you just had abundance, would you still serve Him the same way? Here's what he says, Deuteronomy 8:17. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.
Don't ever think that. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. In other words, that ability to provide for your family, it came from God. God's the one who has blessed you. Don't ever forget it. God is the one. See, sometimes people, you know, they get the same attitude about their health. If you are healthy, oh, how you need to thank God every day, every single day. Not just when God heals you, but every day we're relying on him, trusting him, and being thankful to him. I want to say again, this prayer is a prayer for our needs, not our greeds. In Matthew 7:7, this is the very next chapter. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? And it brings us back again to understand that we are talking to our Father. We're talking to our Father. We are not trying to talk him into something. Some people, they approach prayer this way. We've got to try to talk God into it, try to get God to do what we want. No. I want to tell you that if it's something good for you, your heavenly Father is more than willing to give it to you. But we also need to acknowledge this ought to be really simple for us to understand, especially if you're a parent, you ought to know. Father knows best. Or mom, sometimes. But when we're talking about our heavenly Father, he knows best. But here's what I know. If I ask him for something good, he's not going to give me something bad. He's going to give me something good. Jesus makes it real clear. How much more, he says, if you then being evil, earthly fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? So we're not trying to get God to give us something that he doesn't want to give us. Again, we come back to that principle. We're asking God to bless us how he wants to. And if God says no to something, you know what? He knows best. But I'll tell you, so often in life, if we just understand how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask, then we'll ask him in faith and believe we receive. But we just need to trust God to provide for us and bless us every day. And it really comes back to this. It's about our relationship with the Lord. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus speaks to the lukewarm church. In verse 17, he says, you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And I want to tell you, there are a lot of people that don't realize how desperately they need God every day. And when I say a lot of people, I'm talking about a lot of people who consider themselves to be a Christian. Jesus said this to Christians, to people who were lukewarm. And he says, you think that you don't need anything. You say, I have need of nothing. You see, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, when we go to God with our needs, we need to know every single one of us needs God. We need his blessing and his help. He says, you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Again, it's not about the stuff. It's about a relationship with him.
Then in verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. And there's the answer, that we just open the door and have that communion, that fellowship with the Lord. And it can't just be a once in a while thing, but it needs to be a daily thing, every day. I told you, I mentioned the children of Israel in the wilderness and how God provided the manna. And certainly the Lord provides bread, material needs for us, but there's also bread for our soul. In John 6:51, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. This bread from heaven, Jesus, the only one who can truly satisfy the soul. Not all the money in the world, only Jesus. Not all the pleasures of the world, only Jesus can truly satisfy. But here's where a lot of Christians are. They're like the children of Israel in the wilderness with the manna. They look back and they say, yeah, I've had that. They're trying to live on yesterday's bread from heaven. Once in a while. No, it's a daily thing, that daily we get fresh bread from heaven. Daily we renew this relationship with the Lord. It's always there all the time, that we're praying without ceasing. We're walking and talking with the Lord. This is the life that he wants us to live. That Christianity that, you know, yeah, I had that. What happened to that manna after the next day? It was rotten. You need fresh bread from heaven every day. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.